Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, I'm excited for today.
Hello, groomers. Welcome to episode 233 of the Groom Pod, recorded on December 1st, 2019 in Snohomish, Washington, Tucson, Arizona, and somewhere else, which I will not allude to yet. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and Stazco Products. This week on the Groom Pod, we have an interview, which is going to be basically the whole show. Barbara, why don't I just give it to you?
Okay, all right. I'm excited to introduce you to our guest today because this is a guy for which I have a humongous respect. And we've just like grown into a professional relationship that is so freaking cool. I just love having a representative of a company. That's your first clue. We've got a representative of a company, a so-called suit, which he will affirm. And this guy is one of the first people who didn't roll his eyes, groan, moan, or otherwise act foolish when I told them that I was going to write a book teaching groomers about what's in shampoos and conditioners. One sales rep actually rolled his eyes and said, "Oh no, oh no, no." And no, you can't do that, Barbara. Yeah, I just got poo-pooed all over the place about that. But Dave was really interested. And even though we started out with kind of a little bit of disagreement about ingredient disclosure and those kinds of issues, in my dances with sales rep, this guy has been one of the best dancers. You know, and I'll tell you, the hardest dance I had was Al Davis of Davis.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. How he was a trip.
The so, old guy?
Yeah, yeah. It was so difficult that I finally just had to layer it with a lot of humor, you know. And so I would see him at the trade show, and before he could run away, I would say, "Hey, Al, what's in that quick dry?" And he would say, "Over my dead body." And he would run off, and that would be our exchange for the trade show. So, friends, this is Dave Campanella of Best Shot. He's a high mucky muck. He's in charge of marketing, which makes him the number one sales rep for his company. And he's a real knowledgeable guy that has really taken the time to learn about products. He's not a cosmetic chemist, like I'm not a cosmetic chemist, but some of us have just kind of looked into the matter somewhat and gotten familiar with products and ingredients and what our expectations might be and that sort of thing. So to me, Dave Campanella is the role model for which I wish more salesmen would follow this model. He's really fair. He's not malicious towards competition. He's very deep into education, and he's stepped up into the education field, and he's now teaching seminars at many of our trade shows.
He never talks down to us, ever.
He never, and that's one of the reasons why I was able to continue approaching Dave Campanella. Oh, you know, like it took me a couple of years really to get into a real comfortable, I can't wait to see Dave Campanella at the show kind of a thing, you know. So anyway, I want to heap you with praise, Dave, because you've really carved out a slice of the pie that is just like so right on. I just love your ability to discuss products in some depth. I love your fairness and your respect for your peers. And I just admire you so much in the way that you handle your job. So for this, I'll cut that short. And here we are with Dave Campanella. And you have the best guitar collection of any sales rep I've ever known.
Well, thank you.
Dave, give us a little history. There's plenty of people. As a matter of fact, I'd say, according to our survey, about one-third of the people have been listening since the beginning. One-third of the people have been listening for about 2 years. The other third of the people have just started out. So let's tell sure. these people who you are, where you came from, and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm a native Cleveland, Ohioan, which would explain my accent and my voice for radio, they tell me. And I'm the youngest of three kids. How far do you want me to go back?
You can skip up to when you got involved in the pet industry.
That's great, because my right-hand best friend is actually sitting next to me, Tracy, my wife. I'm a mannequin. I'm actually a ventriloquist dummy. I got into this industry because almost 30 years ago, I married a groomer. And prior to that, I had no dogs, no cats, no kids, and dead plants, she pointed out, because I was a rep. I was never home. But I met my wife and learned all about dogs and introduced to that, and it was just a lot of fun. And see, my wife Tracy actually used to groom a gentleman that, Barbara, you know his name, Bill Marshall, who was the founder of Best Shot. My wife would groom his dog. And believe it or not, his dog was a mess, because he was always on the road, and his dog looked like hell. I can say that now because Bill's probably not listening to this. But I got into marketing. Basically, I knew I wanted to go to college. I had a partial art degree to go to Kent State, and I had this fear of being a starving artist. So I thought, well, if I learned business, that would be a good thing. And
so it was a fallback.
Yeah. And I figured I can always do art and guitar and all that other stuff. It made sense at the time. And I thought I'd be an accountant, and I quickly figured out that that just was not me. That was very dry.
I'm so glad.
Mike Gallagher, the new owner of Best Shot, is an accountant, and that's why we get along so well. He's the bean counter. I'm the creative nut. I liked advertising. I liked communication. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration, which is a BS degree. And
totally.
Lo and behold, over the years now, I'm the Sales and Marketing Director for Best Shot, which makes me a BS doctor, a BSMD, Best Shot Marketing Director.
So that's
I am now. Yeah. And but I worked for a company called Royal Appliance Dirt Devil. I was a field sales rep calling on service centers. And, the idea in that company, I learned a lot about branding and was very fortunate to be in that company and the ground up before it went public and then was just kind of destroyed. We had great ethics and back then in that company. My goal back then was, if you were going to build a little brand called Dirt Devil, Little Red Vacuums, and have every Walmart and Kmart and every major box store selling that product, you needed somebody to fix it. So my job was to call on these little mom and pop shops and build a relationship, and we sold them exclusive merchandise. And at first I hated sales, but then I figured out that if you were going to be successful in it, people have to like you, or you have to offer something of value. And what some of the things that I learned early on was vacuums back then, called the Royal Vacuum, looked like a Kirby. In fact, it's the oldest vacuum cleaner company still around today. I figured out that if I talked to Herb Taylor, he was the Royal Appliance Service Manager, and he gave me a little tool and showed me how to work on and repair these vacuum cleaners and how to replace the fan, because they were rather complicated. So as a young, 24, 25-year-old, I would go into these places and I'd talk to a lot of guys that were old 55-year-old guys like I am now. And, I would show them. I would break apart the vacuum and show them how to do it. That's kind of how I built the trust. with them because they knew I just wasn't some dumb kid who wanted an order. I actually cared and had an interest in what they were doing, and that was just something that was instilled. You know, you do it for the right reason. I knew a lot of guys back then who, while this was my first job out of college, a lot of these guys, they saw it as just a means, you know, they'd work a year or two there and move on up the ladder and something else. And that wasn't me. I've always been the type of guy, if I'm going to be into something, I'm going to be all in, kind of hyper-focused, get into it. I spent probably a good 15, 16 years of my life working for that company. And then I got into working for a company called Advo, which is best known today as Velasys, junk mail, the people who shove your mailbox full of all that stuff every Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it is. But I wanted to get into advertising, and my way to do it was through sales. And then from there, I went on to work for a Knight Ridder newspaper in Ohio, the Akron Beacon Journal. And from there, I kind of stumbled into meeting Mike Gallagher, who's the current owner of Best Shot, and started consulting with him. I have my wife to thank for that job. My wife essentially got me that job because she knew the folks over there.
I got you the interview.
She got me the interview.
You did the rest.
Yes. That's my wife. I can't throw my voice. But yeah, that's basically how I got into it. So there you go. I kind of spewed it all out there. That's the Cliff Notes
version. Yeah, no, thank you. That's how we work. We just spit it out, you know, and then Susie cleans it up later.
It's my art. It's my talent.
Do you differentiate between marketing and sales?
Yeah, that's a good question. And if you've listened and read different things that I've done, you can understand that I'm a process person. I'm all about process. Sales is a function of marketing. And what people overlook marketing involves so many things, you know, everything from research and development of a product, branding. We do a lot of branding at Best Shot. We have like 5 different brands. Publicity, pricing is part of marketing. You have to develop a strategy. Packaging, online presentation, public relations, social media, all of these things. The best way of describing what marketing is, and I love this definition that I came across, it's basically managing exchange relationships. And that is powerful because you don't have to market a tangible product like a bottle of shampoo. You could be marketing a service. Politicians, I have no idea what the hell they're marketing. but, you know, there's a lot of, you can market something tangible or intangible, but it's a relationship thing. And what you're doing in marketing is you're creating relationships and you're satisfying customer demand. That's the difference. Sales is a function of marketing out of all those things I mentioned, but it's kind of like an interesting balance because sales is the fuel of any organization because that's the point where you turn all that effort, all the branding, everything you've done into a purchase order or a sale. And that's off, you know, sales and marketing, a sales force and marketing can be at odds with themselves because often corporate or motivation, you know, if somebody's out, you know, desperate for business, sometimes the sales can lose sight of all the other important aspects. And that's where you get the negative connotations, you know, of the pushy salesman or the lawyer or the car salesman or all those negative connotations that people are familiar with. But there is a difference.
And I think that sometimes comes out under the energy and stress of the trade show. Some companies send the marketer, like Dave, to the trade show. Other companies send the guys that just have been in 10 different places, top salesmen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They just send the guy they know is going to button it down and make those sales. Those guys get hyped and high by the energy at the trade show, and they sometimes get over their skis. And what they say about their products. You know, that's a good concept.
Depends on the motivation.
Picked up.
It, with sales, somewhere along the line, somebody figured out that if we motivate them and compensate them based on performance, either straight commission or an incentive,
yeah,
that'll help the results. And that's a great way of doing it. Unfortunately, again, it's that fine balance, and sometimes the motivation can overshadow the vision and the purpose behind a product. And that goes true with anything. I don't care if you're selling cars or TVs or dog shampoo.
Do you feel like there's a code of ethics that is unwritten but should be followed in the sales industry?
Sure.
It seems like there is a lot of misinformation that gets circulated, and I'm never quite sure if the people circulating the misinformation recognize that it's misinformation or if they've just drank the Kool-Aid.
What I love about you guys is you guys ask the right questions, and it's kind of like a rabbit hole, and it's deep, so we're going to get deep, and if I get too out there, you know, you may need to, like, wave your hands to get my attention and reel me back in. When you think of journalism, you know, if you're going to learn journalism, people would hear about the journalistic, you know, code of ethics. And when you think about a profession like the law, you know, there's a code of ethics, you know, that they talk about. Now, most people have figured out that somewhere along the line, just like sales overshadows marketing, well, sometimes money and compensation can skew things
a little bit.
You know, the code of ethics goes out the door. So a code of ethics, in answer to your question, in the shampoo category, I would say overall there's no code of ethics. The code of ethics is going to come from the company. And what you're really talking about is integrity. And when you do a little bit of digging in the meaning of integrity, integrity, while it has to do with honesty and fairness, it's a choice that one makes. And a company and an individual has to make that choice. You know, bear in mind, I'm going to stand up for my other manufacturers out there because I have a hope, you know, that they'll come around. I'm a hopeless optimist and hopeful. Okay, hopeless. My wife says hopeful.
Yes.
I say hopeless optimist.
Good correction, Tracy.
I'm hopeless.
Yeah, you are.
I am hopeless. I've used this analogy where sometimes I get a little frustrated with the industry, and I try to focus on the manufacturer side of it. Sometimes I think the bar is a little too low, meaning that the focus is on the sales and it's not on the marketing, you know, and the ones that are doing it well, you don't have to have a BSMD degree like me to be in marketing, but you do have to have some integrity, and you do have to realize that I have a fundamental belief, and that is people buy what they want from people they like. That's just part of being human. And the successful companies, and there's many out there, and some of them are small, and they've started with nothing, and many have gone on to do great things, you know, and I won't name names, you know, but they understood that there's a relationship, and there's a relationship not only with the distributors and the customers, but with the groomers. That means a lot, you know, and that's something genuine that you either have or you don't. Everything else is manufactured. From a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, that kind of a relationship gets longevity. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are salesmen that I enjoy interacting with just because they have certain personalities. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like I always used to love to interact with Kim Laube.
Sure.
And it was because of his energy at the show and his personality and his quirkiness. You know, everybody has their quirkiness unless they're just really a dry suit. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to buy the stuff. You know, I might pick up a single item or something. But when I'm working with somebody that is marketing with a sense of integrity and the relationship is important, like you say, I'll be right there. Then, Susie, what? Trying to shut me up?
No, I'm just trying to get in my point before you go on to the next. I love this. This is so much fun. This is why I like to spend Sunday mornings
this way.
You didn't
know this was going to be a 3-hour episode.
Oh, it's good. I'll take as long as I can get.
We didn't prepare anything.
I am extremely loyal to the people that I believe in, the people that I've made a connection with, including the people I buy my products with. And the trade shows make that connection for me so often. If you don't go to the trade show, you don't meet the guy who makes the shampoo, but you might actually meet the guy or the gal like Sandy from Show Season, or Dave, the guy in marketing. You meet these people at the trade show, and if you like their products and if they do have the integrity, man, I'm loyal as can be. I am loyal.
And that really, it's a simple philosophy that early on is, you know, when I first got the Best Shot, I started consulting with them part-time. I was kind of in between gigs. And I don't know, maybe out of a little bit of sympathy. Mike, if you ever got to know him, he's got a big heart. You know, he let me start off consulting with him initially. But the pressure was all on sales because we're a little company. We needed to move the needle. And what you learn in our industry is... the grooming community, it's very tight, and there's a limited number of outlets, you know, where product is sold. So suddenly I realized that if I'm going to grow this, I can't get out in a car and call on all 50 states. What I can do is try to build a relationship with all of the outlets. You know, everybody from Roy Loomis and Cherry Burke to Allie, and I'm going to leave somebody out, so forgive me, but Allie and Bill at Groomers Mall, Mike Olson and Cascade, you know. There's, you know, you get to know different people, you know, Frank Rowe, you know, Deanne and Debbie, and you're building relationships with those folks. And over time, they chose to deal with our company. That's the relationship. So it's twofold. I'm dealing with groomers and I'm dealing with companies. And the biggest problem that the companies have, or, you know, the grooming suppliers and the catalogs, they're all in the same boat. It's like, why should I carry your product? And they've experienced things, you know, like for a groomer, they're worried about a product that if it doesn't work, or they don't want to waste their money. And for a distributor, they don't want to have a room full of product that's going to sit there. Or they don't want to have a manufacturer go and run an ad in a catalog for 40% off and totally undercut everything they just did, you know. So it's a relationship. And there's a trust relationship. I've been at this gig with Best Shot probably a good 15 years, and it's taken about 13 years for people to see that everything we said we were going to do, we've stuck by it. And, you know, we really haven't pissed anybody off, I mean, to where they'll leave us. I'm sure I've peeved off a few people along the way.
But, well, you do like, you know, to poke the bear.
It's a trust relationship. I do. It's a bad habit.
So along those lines, Dave, since you're the marketing guy, how do you decide what it is we as the groomers should know about your products?
That's a good question. Wow.
How does a company determine their talking points?
I can't speak for other companies. I can't speak from where we're coming from. You know, Best Shot started off as three products, and when Mike bought it, he was doing everything and doing the best he could. But, you know, when you're small, you don't always know what you've got. And over time, we realized that, boy, people really like this product. So when I got in the role, it's like, why does it work? What do people like about it? You know, what don't they like about it? You know, and I started answering, you know, asking questions. You know, so the first thing is to really know your customer. And one of the reasons why we do trade shows, and you'll even see Mike, our owner, at some of the big events. He's always at Hershey. Sometimes he's at Atlanta, always at Super Zoo or Global Pet Expo. But I like going to the shows because it's the best focus group imaginable, because you're getting out there in the trenches and you're actually talking to people. So if our company's off message, or if we produce a dud, would it be surprising to say that the groomers are going to tell us if it's a dud or not? You know, they're not going to hold back. You know, so I mean, it's important to do that. And the other thing that I think has helped me is, I mentioned earlier that I got into this business 30 years ago because I married a groomer. Well, my wife Tracy and I ran a shop together, and we were in the trenches, you know. And she's the groomer, I was the bather. Okay, she tells me that I'm still a dang good bather brusher, and she relies on me heavily at the dog shows. She trusts me with what's grooming the dogs.
Coat prep.
I'm a glorified butt washer, but in all seriousness, having done the role does make a difference. How do I want to say this? Like, here I get deep again, and reel me in if I get too far out there, or if I don't make sense here. But I've seen companies get purchased, And I've seen the new folks, you know, and they bring some young people in, and they're all good, lovely people, but they don't have the history. They don't have the stake into, you know, really understanding always what it is they're selling. Oftentimes they're doing their job because they're doing what they're told, whereas the founder of that company did it because they had a passion, you know, and sometimes you'll see a lapse and a disconnect. And in good marketing, regardless of if you're a small company, a big company, or whatever, the goal is to stay connected. And that's a challenge. And that's where I'm kind of drifting off the subject here. But that's where I think the trade shows and doing everything kind of comes in together and makes a difference. I don't know. I don't even remember what the original question was, ladies.
No, good. You're right. You're right. You're our kind of guy.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
So let's talk about education because you have become an educator in our industry.
Yes.
And, well, I want to underscore that because I'm really proud of you, but I want you to know that I had to work on it. You know, like, especially when you started talking about my favorite topics, like ingredients and what's in the bottle, you know, and I said, like, well, who's this guy giving my seminar? And I, you know, like, what the fuck?
My favorite thing that happened is sometimes they'll change up a name just to keep it fresh. So you submit something and then you get it. And then it's like, oh, I'm doing a seminar on what? You know, because they changed the name. And it's like, oh, that looks like one of Barb's seminars. You know, that's happened to me before.
Yeah, I know. But well, anyway. The thing is that you're beginning to do seminars came at that point where the industry sort of shifted in trade shows from bringing in speakers to vendors as speakers. I was being kind of pushed out of the scene as you stepped up to the podium. And that's a little hard for me.
Sure.
Because I love doing it in person. And it's like being in the rock band in front of an audience and getting that loop of energy going. And when I do a seminar, it's like you plug me into the wall and I become Big Bird. You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
And I perform, you know, because that's in me.
That's right.
And I'm not doing any music anymore, so that it's my main source of performance. And they cut me out. Dave Campanella is teaching. Well, you weren't even the first one. The first person that did it really pissed me off, but we won't go there. I do kind of consider it my topic. And, of course, you can't own topics. Silly me. So talk to us about how you came into the education role and what your goals are and how you distinguish yourself from you're not just selling, hyping your line of product. So how do you make that distinction and go? Take that, Dave.
It's... Something tells me that you didn't hold back and you didn't tell me how you truly felt about that. No, actually, the first seminar that Tracy and I went to was in Sandusky, Ohio, many years ago. And John Stasko was there. And there was an up-and-coming groomer by the name of Sue Zecco. I'm digressing here. Sue had this holster thing with scissors that was so badass. And she looked like a sheriff came into town, you know.
I tried to use that, and it doesn't work when you're sitting down.
No.
Because your scissors all, like, jab into your ribcage when you sit down.
Sure. It was so amazing, and we had such a good time, and lo and behold, that's before I established the relationship with John Stasko. But over the years, you know, Tracy and I mean, we've been at this for 30 years, and I'm going to say probably about 10 years ago, we have a lot of dinner conversation and breakfast conversation, and we talk grooming, we talk business, and we actually enjoy doing that. And we both realize that there's just such a void, and there's a lot of people who are out there that are doing seminars who mean well, you know, but in our opinion at the time, we didn't think a lot of them knew what the heck they were talking about. I don't know how to put it. You know, I guess a lot of people can relate to that. And there was just too much misinfo out there.
Got it.
And
you're right. Still is.
You know, so we talked about doing it, I think, 1 year in Atlanta. We did a thing about our new groom shop and retailing, and Ann let us do a seminar, and Tracy and I did it together. You know, I'm the mouth. Tracy's a little intimidated by a large crowd. We would try to do some seminars when the opportunity came, but it's very difficult to kind of break into that. And the thing with Best Shot, I kind of got into doing seminars by accident. The first one I did was entitled Making Masterpieces Out of Nightmares in Record Time. We'll talk about a high. This was for the World Pet Association probably about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And they had a big room on the floor, and we counted it. There was over 350 seats. And when I got up and did that, and I'll admit at the time, it was a very biased pro Best Shot presentation, but it did have a lot of educational value to it. There was probably 100 people, 80 people standing in the back of this place. I mean, it was sold out. And I remember the usher said, boy, he's the first one to fill up that place. Talk about a rush. I mean, to your point, that was great. But I put a lot of time into presenting the information. I quickly learned, because they didn't ask me back. First of all, there was a ton of applause. Everybody loved it. I don't know what the deal was, but I think maybe I need to tone it down a tad, you know, and put more focus on the actual substance and the education. And that's what we started doing. And Best Shot did it, not as so much a means to get business, but kind of like from a philanthropic perspective, you know, giving back to the industry. And from there, it went from morphed versions of that to touching on some of the things that you've touched on before about coat damage, because I felt that it tied in with shedding, detangling. You know, that's what Best Shot knew, and that's what we talked about. And then over the years, there was more and more people were asking for other things from me, and Atlanta asked me to do one on bathing systems, and I enjoyed that because, remember, I worked in a groom shop with my wife, so I worked in the trenches. You know, I used to make my own bathing systems. At one time, we made coin-operated bathing stations for our self-serve. That was something that I did, and so that was a lot of fun. And then I was asked to do one on dryers. I built dryers before, and it ties in with the vacuum cleaner industry. If you're sucking up on one end of it, you're blowing out of the other. Kind of fit, you know, and it also helped that I lived 3 miles away from the Amtech electric motor company in Kent, Ohio, you know, so that was fun. And then I started doing one on mindfulness because I just saw a trend in that. And of course, Kristen Pearson has done a lot with that. She, you know, she actually has a blog called The Mindful Groomer. I did a seminar called The Mindful Groomer. She's doing neat things. And I've just tried to stay ahead of things and talk within a realm that I know. You know, I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. Share valuable information.
And not to point out the obvious, but you do rep a product line that benefits from some education in how to use it. Because when you guys came along with the three-step system, people weren't really using that type of a system to clean dogs. So that just led itself, well, to education.
Well, I'm going to give you a Groom Pod breaking news. The three-step system, I started marketing that because, you know, when we started, Best Shot was three products, Ultra Wash, Ultra Plenish Conditioner, and Ultra Vitalizing Mist. And that was it. And back then, if you came to the booth and, you know, you said, hey, I'm looking for something to whiten a dog, Bill Marshall said, well, here you go. I'm looking for something to demat a dog, well, here you go. Yeah, I'm looking for something for, they didn't have doodles back then, but, you know, for big hairies or whatever. You know, well, here you go. Oh, it did everything. It was like selling snake oil. You were there to sell. Now, see, there's a difference. His livelihood depended on selling those three products. A big game changer, you know. I mean, if he leaves that show without selling anything, it's going to be very difficult. But at any rate, gosh, the three-step system, you know, I found myself probably about 8 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, it's like, what are we trying to sell here? Everybody had that product pigeonholed as a dematting product.
A deep shed.
And that was never what it was designed for. it's kind of like if you're Christopher Reeve and you play Superman and for the rest of your life, hey, look, there's Superman. No one saw anything other than what it was. So the three-step system is kind of a me being witty and obvious at the same time. And Best Shot doesn't own the method of properly washing and conditioning a dog. Grooming is a process. Right. So by calling it the Best Shot three-step system, the goal was to teach groomers how to wash and condition effectively. That was the motivation behind it. And I thought for sure, oh, people are going to catch on to this. There's going to be a one step and a two and a half step. And maybe somebody will come out with a seven step, you know, because seven steps is better than
show
two
grooming.
Steps, you know. Yeah, there you go. Well, I always say if in the show world, if you could light them up with diesel fuel and look good, everybody would do it. But the three step was merely to get people to look at it as a process. From a sales standpoint, let's flip over. Is it better to buy one product or three products? Because the other thing I was finding was that, do you use Best Shot? Oh, yeah, I love it. I use the conditioner. Do you use anything else? I didn't think they had anything else. You know, oh, I use the spray. I use it all the time. I love it. Do you use the conditioner or the shampoo? No. Well, what do you use? And then they would tell me something, and knowing what I knew, I'm like, well, how the hell does that work? You're working too hard. You know, so what we're selling is a system. And you can do a lot with it. And to this day, there are people who only use Ultra Wash or use Ultra Plenish or just use the spray. But I can honestly say more people use it as a system and they experience great results. And I've said it in the blogs and online and social media. I'm very honest. Dematting, deshedding, detangling, it's all the same science. It all has to do with porosity and managing porosity. It's a method. It's a method. It's a method. But if you got the right method, the good products stand out. And thank God I have a good product. In my opinion, and there's a lot of people who will agree with me.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about Show Season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool, because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
I heard a rumor that a little bird flew in some products over to Barbara Bird for her to test out. Barbara, what did you think of those products you got?
Those were the very generous sampling of the Best Shot Sentiments products. And I'm in love. It's a funny story, because people who know me and who have listened to me or read me over the years know that I'm a little bit on the skeptical side about fragrance, because in the human hair industry, fragrances are one of the most common causing irritation or an allergic reaction. So I sort of got dissociated from my enjoyment of fragrances. And here comes this package from Best Shot, and it's got all these different fragrances, and fragrances are delightful. There's not an off-putting one of them. They're just like way different than I expected. I had just like walked by, passed on, never even looked at the sentiment products for all these years that I've known Dave and I've stopped by to talk. You know, we usually get into fairly deep stuff right away, and the products are just a backdrop. He helps me understand his point of view, and then I send it on. But anyway, so all of a sudden, I've been confronted with my love of fragrances. We all know that I got a thing for them because I'm an aromatherapist, for crying out loud. But I just have dissociated in the pet products. So I'm saying that if you're a scent person, these are a really good choice.
Do you have a favorite?
The lemon vanilla. Oh, my God. I want to use it on myself. I do use it on myself. And so does Yvonne. We just spritz ourselves with that stuff. And my dogs are getting groomed so much more because I just love to use that product. It's an uplifting fragrance. It's got that vanilla bottom that makes you want to like really smell it. And yet it's got this uplift that is like bright.
Dave, why did you guys develop that product line?
People love fragrances.
When we did the scent, well, that was largely it. You know, people would always tell us, you need to come out with something for retail. You make a great product. And largely because of our background and understanding of conditioners and the effect and the benefits for skin and hair that we're able to do. When we did the line, this is kind of a funny story. If you can imagine me and Mike Gallagher, if you've ever met him, you know, two guys, we would take day trips from work, and we would go to the mall, and we'd go to Bath and Body Works and candle shops. We would walk really fast.
On company time. What a hard job.
Yeah. But we were trying to do a paradigm shift, you know, trying to look at things differently. And then through discovering a lot of the fragrances out there and then going to our suppliers and the companies that we work with, we identified, you know, back then that there are these things called hypoallergenic fragrances. And again, it doesn't mean that they're perfect, but there's a big emphasis in the cosmetic industry to try to get past, you know, things that make your eyes water and make you sneeze. I mean, this is a big concern in a multi-billion dollar industry. And we were able to learn more, and moving forward from that point, we haven't looked at fragrances the same since. We go out of our way to source hypoallergenic fragrances, but more full-bodied. It's fun because, you know, we'll get the descriptions and we'll look at these, and there's your top notes, your middle notes, your base notes, and there's just so much fun you can have with them. And it's not like the old Spencer Gift smelling fragrances from 40 years ago or 30 years ago.
Didn't you make a fragrance that smells like the one you wear?
Oh, there is a fragrance called Tropical Breeze that is modeled after a very famous European cologne. And the joke is, you know, yeah, I did that because I don't have to go and spend that kind of money on the actual cologne. And we've done that with a few other ones. The neat thing about fragrances, it's an ongoing thing. One thing that, and I'm giving a bone to and a hint or a suggestion to the competitors out there, because I don't understand what I'm about to talk about here, is I'll see a company come out with a new product and they'll run one ad or two ads on a product and then they're done. Barbara, do you read every issue of Groomer to Groomer magazine?
Oh, no. You know, I will thumb through it, but right. And then on the other hand, you might have an issue that you keep for 10 years and you go through it every so often.
Exactly. You know, so I see these companies, they come out with things and they don't give it a fair shot. And if you look at what Besha does, like, we take anywhere from 18 to 24 to 36 months to build a brand or build a scent, you know, and I just don't understand why other companies give up so easy. And then on the flip side of that, we had introduced about a year and a half ago a lavender scent, which did very well, but it was interesting with that scent. Some people loved it. Other people hated it. We went back in-house and we redeveloped it, you know, again. So our lavender aloe actually has it's still, from what I can tell, everybody who loved it before still love it. And then we just came out with one called Wild Orchid and Vanilla, which was a lot of fun.
I have that one.
And I can't give away all our secrets. You don't always have to be original. You know, we modeled that after one of the laundry companies. You know, they had a top-selling fragrance, you know, and then we took it and then we tweaked it.
You know, fragrance sells. Fragrance elicits an emotional response in people. Here's what I like about these fragrances. They're lasting on my dogs for, I don't know, several days without being strong or overpowering in any way. The dog is not a room deodorizer, you know. The dog has to be in your face to smell the product. And I happen to have little fluffy white dogs that sleep around my face or greet me in the morning. Marco always just like curls around my neck and gives me kisses. And I, you know, and so I'm really enjoying that these fragrances are still there. And the other thing I want to say about the sentiments is that the products themselves are excellent.
Thank you.
They clean really well. I shied away from them because I thought I wasn't going to like the way they cleaned. But the minute I really got in there and started using them, I realized that they clean effectively.
Yeah, they're cleaning. And my littlest Maltese, her coat came out the softest and the silkiest that it has ever come on. She's got a very fragile coat. And I just wanted to pet her and pet her. And that was the one with the fragrance that Dave just mentioned. They really are good products. And my perusing the ingredients, I don't see anything that alarms me. Or it's not an oversimplified product. It's a sophisticated state of the industry product. That's one of the things that I like about Best Shot. They keep upgrading. When they change something in their formula, it's to respond to the growing knowledge about something. So, for example, they're just using the cocamide MIPA instead of cocamide DEA, which was the standard for generations. DEA is highly carcinogenic, and so compounds of that ingredient could be risky. They're approved for use, but this company is taking the next step and reading the writing on the wall, going to disclose ingredients. You want to have ingredients that don't scare people.
Yeah, you know, funny thing, you mentioned DEA. DEA, in my opinion, gets a bum rap.
I think so, too.
You know, we started working and playing around and finding other things, and it took a while to get the, you know, and then you shift over to the MEAs. DEA was the big one because that was the one that Prop 65 was really down on. It's actually cocamide DIPA, D-I-P-A, is what we're using. And that was really nice because there it shows you that that's an example of there's a demand out there, and they were able to come up with something that you could fit into a formula without totally turning it on its head. You know, it was an outright replacement.
Groomers often don't understand that you can't just take out one ingredient from a shampoo and put in something else. Being able to do that is really ideal and beloved, but doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you take one thing out and you got to put five things in to get all of the effects of that one thing. Putting something in can ruin the consistency of your foam. It can ruin the consistency of the product. It can make it off color. It can, you know, like all kinds of shit can happen. Replacing an ingredient is it's tricky for the formulator sometimes.
That's right. And what's interesting too, I just want to bring up this point, and this is kind of one of the reasons why I started. You have to do a lot of listening and observing on to get a feel for where people are coming from when it comes from ingredients. You know, for years, there was almost like this feeling of shame when someone would ask you, you know, is this, you know, 30 years ago, people would ask, well, 20 years ago, people would ask, is this product all natural? And I can honestly tell you that Best Shot, pretty much everybody out there, including the big Procter and Gamble's and everybody else out there, the response was, well, sure it's natural. You know, and what did we look to? We would look to these big companies. And then over time, you start to realize, what are we talking? That was back in the day where people would say things are soap and detergent free. Well, how the hell can that be? Because soap's a detergent, you know?
Right.
You
okay.
know, and,
well,
and,
not everybody
everything.
Knows
and,
that.
If, and if it cleans, it's a detergent. I'm kind of bouncing around here, but a point I want to make that kills me is when you do expose or disclose, depends on point of view, ingredients, the first thing people see is water, and the next thing they see, 95% of the time, is sodium laureth sulfate, ammonium laureth sulfate, cocamide propyl betaine, some sort of DEA, MEA, DEPA, and they see these things. And we're told that sulfates and these things are bad. But yet, 95% of what's out there, everybody's using it. And the focus is always on the detergent. And it's like you're totally ignoring the rest of the ingredients. And what I tell people, because I've had this conversation, and people still look at our ingredients, and they'll think, oh, well, is it safe? That tells you two things. First of all, the sulfates, the top three sulfates out there, there's a reason why everybody's using them, and there's over a century's worth of data and research behind them. If you use variations in multiple levels, and Barbara, you taught me this years ago, and lo and behold, you were right. You actually taught me something probably the first time we met. But when you're mixing these, you actually get a net greater cleaning effect at a milder level. You just want to clean the dog, and you want to get it done effectively, and you want to put more emphasis on the active ingredients and conditioners and other things within that product to differentiate it, but more importantly, to get the effect that you want. I have this opinion that if you take a basic approach to the detergents that are reliable, you're actually, it frees you up to explore things like advanced cationic conditioners and silicones and, you know, and all the different copolymers that are now being developed, along with many other surfactants. But yet people will look at those first few ingredients, and because they were told that they are harmful or bad, they write that product off. And what a lot of marketers will do is they'll use an alternative that doesn't look like that. I'm not bashing the alternative, but the alternative will do the same damn thing, you know, as far as irritation and reaction, if you don't rinse it out with water. I've actually told people in blogs, I said, you know, these detergents will cause blisters, painful blisters, and irritation and redness. And, oh, they can just wreak so much havoc. But it's a shampoo compound. We're professionals. We're supposed to rinse these out. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people with sensitivity. But what I am saying is that people look at detergents all wrong. And this is my rant. You know, and then the flip side is there's so many people who will look at a safety data sheet and they'll single out an ingredient, taking it totally out of its context within a formula and bash it, you know, and this is my motivation. I'm not trying to sell product. But if I can help more people realize that this doesn't have to be as complicated, and if you can see the truth, then you can make an informed decision. But it seems like the first thing you have to do is get people beyond the fear, because the fear and the misinformation is just so bad. I mean, and it's everywhere, not just our industry. It's just horrendous. So what you guys do, and Barb, what you do with your book, Beyond Suds and Soap and everything, I mean, it's invaluable for people. You know, I mean, they really, you know, really need to do this as an industry, and manufacturers. I'm hoping more manufacturers will step up. And then my last rant, thank you for letting me rant.
Rant away.
You know, I'm selling shampoo. If I made a product and you went to its website and it looks like the whole food, organic food section for shampoo, that's a problem. you know, and there's so much misinformation and visual. You know, and one of the things, going back to ethics and integrity, the reason why when you go to Best Shot and we talk about a mission statement and where we stand on ingredients, I'm not trying to sell you so much. I mean, ultimately, yeah, I want to sell you shampoo, but I'm also not going to be brokenhearted if you buy somebody else's shampoo. But I want you to go there and I want you to know what you're getting into and know what you're looking at, and then you make your decision. And since I've taken that approach, the more transparent approach, our business has grown, and I don't get the crazy phone calls from people, you know, saying, oh my gosh, you're using this product and it's a carcinogen and blah, 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 because they go to the website, they read, they see that, and they go, ah, and they go somewhere else and buy from somebody who's going to tell them exactly what they want to hear, you know, and that happens. And I'm not judging, but at the end of the day, I want to be able to sleep at night and have no regrets. And I want to have fun. No manufacturer is going to make a product that's going to kill human beings or kill dogs. That's just crazy. Should we be mindful of what we put on our bodies? Yes. If there's fear behind it, they're trying to sell you something.
It's a beautiful rant, and I share that rant with you totally. And I want to make an educational point to our listeners, because I want to. So here's the deal. The ingredients in a shampoo affect each other. You know, it's not just that they can cause mischief or something, but ingredients can have a favorable relationship. Let's talk about relationships, Dave. Ingredient relationships matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yes, they do.
The purpose of having like more than one primary surfactant is that one will be a terrific, well, let's say you actually have an SLS, a sodium lauryl sulfate, sodium laureth sulfate co-relationship in your shampoo. The milder surfactant will help require less of the harsher surfactant that will do the dirty work, right? It will make the harsher surfactant less harsh to have it partnered with this. And you add some cocamidopropylbutane, and it actually interfaces with your surfactants and makes a larger kind of molecular structure that is less irritating to the skin and doesn't do all of the horrible things that have been attributed to the sulfate. So the combination of ingredients is an interrelationship that makes for a whole that is different than the sum of its parts. Eh?
Exactly right. We're not going to do 3 hours, Susie?
No. I don't want you to get away, Dave, without telling us if there's anything new coming along. I know, I put you on the spot there.
No, it's good. We've got some things we were working on, and actually some new face, you know, new packaging and some things. I really can't say a lot just because I don't want to overpromise. We had a few things, you know, we're having a good year and business and other things kind of getting away, so... we really, other than the Wild Orchid and Vanilla that we launched this year, that was really about it. We're hoping to come out with some stuff latter part of next year, but I'm not sure which way we're going to go, because one of the things that Besha does, if you were to walk in my office, you would see lots of different ideas, and you know, there's a lot of stuff that gets shelved because it's one idea to come out with the product, but then when you come out with the product, you got to figure out how you're going to market it properly without cannibalizing something else or trying to make it fit in and make sense with the rest of the line. And at Best Shot, you know, we may differ than some other companies for our own reason. It's not a good or a bad thing. It just, we don't like the idea of coming out with products just for coming out with products. You know, for example, we had a discussion recently about CBD and is it worth something doing in shampoo, and we're still kind of sitting on our hands on that one because there's so many variables. Plus, if you know me and you know our marketing, the kind of claims we make, you know, we make a few kitschy claims, but we can back them up. I'm trying to figure out if we ever came out with a CBD product. I'm joking, you know, when I say this, but it's like, here you go, Best Shot CBD product. It makes the coat soft. It has all these wonderful attributes, and we're not going to make any claims about CBD. You be the judge. You know, I mean,
yeah.
That would be how I would market that product. So there's a lot of things we're always looking at, and we just try not to jump on trends and react, because that usually ends in disappointment for somebody,
if not the
customer, for us, you know, so.
Good enough. So nothing you can divulge, but maybe next year.
For the listeners, I'm watching Barbara biting her lip. I don't know if I'm misinterpreting.
No, I'm good. Just fidgety.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fidgety too, because we're about at the end of our show, sadly. But Dave, it's been a pleasure to have you on board. And, you know, I don't get a good opportunity often, maybe once a year, to thank you in person. But thank you and Best Shot for being such a supportive sponsor, for being there from the very beginning. And in case I didn't mention it, which I don't think I did, it is our 5th year anniversary. So there you go.
Wow.
Wow. Oh,
I know.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you. 5th year. Do I, like, get a... like a robe that's monogrammed and like
I'll
an invitation to the club or something?
I'll send you a t-shirt. How's that?
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool.
We like
okay.
the t-shirt. We like the t-shirt.
Barbara, do you have anything else you want to say to Dave before we end the show?
No, that's good. I'm so glad that we did this, Dave. It's been a lot of fun. And we've gotten to know you, and I'm
good.
Glad we allowed
you
to
have
your
fun.
Rant. Oh, that's our motto.
All right, guys. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. Remember, the survey is still up, so go take the survey. It takes 3 minutes.
I have a P.S. I have
yes.
one thing
yes.
that I... it's not about Dave. No. But listen, I've been nominated for a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Nice.
Vote for Barbara.
Yeah. Go vote for Barbara. Like, we will post a link or something. Can you help me do that? Let's post a link on the Facebook page so that people can go and vote, because I would love to get that trophy, the most beautiful piece of glass.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dave is up for a nomination for Best Speaker, and the Groom Pod is up for a nomination for Best Podcast as well.
Yeah, they have a category called On-Site seminar education.
And gotcha.
I'm on there.
Great.
And, yeah, vote for me. I'm not ashamed to ask for a vote. And I already voted for you, Barb.
I did too.
Oh, thank you.
I voted for you.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you guys, but I'm going to sneak this into the middle of the podcast because I know it's the only way I can put something out there that Barbara will not hear. So here we go. Chris Pearson has asked to pass this message along, and she says, Barbara is vastly in the lead for the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Phoenix Industry Educator Awards. Very exciting, I might add. I would like to do something extra special for her in the event of her winning. And even if she didn't win the award, I still think what I'd like to do would be extra special to her no matter what. This award has a base that is a mahogany keepsake box. I would like to fill that box with small handwritten or typed notes that are acknowledgments and thank yous from groomers throughout our industry who Barbara has helped. Just a few short sentences explaining how she helped you and your name signed at the bottom. They need to be small enough sheets of paper so they can be folded and put into this box without taking up too much space. I would like for any groomer who's interested in getting their message into that box to please send me a message privately. Remember that these award nomination ballots all close at the end of December, and the awards will be announced the first week of January, as close to New Year's Day as possible. Remember that if you haven't voted or sent in a nomination for an industry educator that has helped you in one of the categories listed on our awards page, I urge you to do so. This is the only awards program that concentrates solely on our industry educators, and education is priceless to all of us. That's Chris Pearson. She wants us to do this for Barbara Bird, and I'm tickled pink. How awesome is that?
And don't forget to vote for the Groom Pod.
All
right. Absolutely.
Happy grooming, everybody.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Take care of yourselves.
We'll see you guys.
Bye, Dave. Bye, guys.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.